course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty spectacular. I'm enjoying a very nice, cold, spicy cherry soda known as Mr. Pib Zero.
There you go. All right. We had the, did we have that on the air, the soda talk, or was that off air?
I think that was on the air. I think it was either last week or the week before. I had tried Mellow Yellow Zero.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember we had the Mr. Pib over Dr. Pepper talk.
Yes.
I do remember that. I want to try the new Coke Zero, the spiced Coke Zero. I want to give that a shot.
I don't want to taint your view of it. I didn't like it personally, but I could see how somebody else would like it.
Yeah, I don't suspect that I will care for it either, but I feel like anytime something like it comes out, I have to try it. It's like I have to give it a shot. I'm a sucker for new snack or drink products. And anybody that follows me personally on social media will know this, because it's like I get anything new and I post up pictures with it, especially cereal. I love cereal. And like just today, I actually just posted a picture of, the Oreo Cakesters. Have you ever seen those?
But I saw the picture. It was the peanut butter ones. Yeah.
It has peanut butter flavored cream. And I was like, wow, that is right from my dreams.
Oh, and, it's so good. Have you tried them yet?
No, not yet. But,
they're good.
I cannot wait. I like the regular Cakesters, but this is just going to up the game for me. Anything with peanut butter, I am. Whew. So,
Dave is a whore for peanut butter. He will do horrible things for peanut butter.
Absolutely. And if it has the name Reese's on it, yeah, I'll gut a man. I mean, I love my Reese's stuff. So yes, man, I don't know. See, I thought it was peculiar because we're recording later than usual. Usually we're pre-dinner, so I'm usually hungry. So that's why sometimes I feel like we get derailed talking about food and stuff. But this is actually post-dinner today, and I'm pretty stuffed, so I don't know why I'm still talking about dinner.
Hey, we just talk about it, man. It's just part of our life.
It is. I guess so. So entrenched with food. But we're not here to talk about food, necessarily. We're here to talk about horror movies, and particularly today, we're going to talk about Imaginary. That is our review today, coming up later in the show. But we have lots of fun things to go through before we get there. And let's start off by thanking you for being here, all of our listeners and followers, and also thanks to our wives for all their support and everything else. They were on last episode with a very interesting wives rebuttal. Always a hit when they're on. People seem to like the lively nature of the discussion. So it is interesting, to say the least. And at least last one, it was a little tamer because we all ended on a unified high note. That Tom O'Bannon is Stafusi. So say what you want about the movie, Tom O'Bannon is bringing people together.
True.
So as well he should. I'm telling you, he is one of my favorite modern horror movie characters. He was so good. But let's transition. Speaking of that, Ike, what did you watch this week?
You know, I didn't watch a whole lot. We're working our way through that show, Evil. And we finished seasons 1 and 2, both were fantastic. Again, I mentioned it before, I unfortunately have to watch this show on Paramount Plus, and every time I mention it, I just have to voice my displeasure with using that app, because that app is by and large one of the worst apps I've ever used in my life, maybe with the exception of like Prime.
Man, Prime is woof. Hate it.
I know. But anyways, yeah, that's pretty much all I watched. Got through season 1 and 2. We're plowing through season 3. And then the fourth and final season actually comes out in May. So this series will be ending overall this year. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm enjoying it very much so far. It's very unique. But it's not too bad.
Okay. Well, I've been continuing on my Buffy watch. I've watched some non-horror things this week. Watched, of course... I'm a big fan of IndyCar racing. Sunday was the first IndyCar race of the season, so I was very excited about that. Watched that. And in a related note, I watched a documentary called Lionheart about Dan Weldon, who was a IndyCar driver who died in a crash at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And it was about his wife. It talked to all the drivers and his wife and his kids. It was very sad, very emotional. But anyway, but then I also did watch the movie. I think we talked about it last episode or mentioned it in the upcoming. I did watch Satanic Hispanics on Shudder.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care for it. It was all right, but it wasn't anything great. But it did have some recognizable people, character actors that have been in TV shows and movies and everything else, including kind of the main guy, the main actor, is Efron Ramirez, the guy that played Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was in it. He was the main, kind of the main character in the show.
Really?
And he did a good job. It wasn't bad. It was kind of a anthology type movie. There was him being at the police station was kind of the wraparounds. There was five segments. The fifth one, went back to the police station and the main character stuff. So wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's still worth a watch from people out there. It was entertaining enough, and it was kind of neat seeing him play a role like this. So not too bad, not too bad. But that's all I watched this week. So let's move on then. If we're past the what we watched, let's move on to our weekly segment.
Generation Gap.
All right, in this episode, we are trying out, again, our new segment called Generation Gap. And this is the thing where we explore the age difference between Ike and I. Ike was born in 1995. I was born much before that. And so we're using 1995 as the division. I pick a movie. Well, I pick a movie pre-1995, or Ike picks a movie post-1995, one or the other. This week is again me providing the lead. And then the other person provides a movie that they feel is kind of an equal or is an interesting or whatever, however you want to phrase it, from the other segment, a comparable movie.
Right.
And it's not necessarily us saying we like one better than the other or anything like that, because more often than not, the chances are better that we're going to both probably like both movies. But it's just a comparison of kind of pre-1995 horror to post-1995 horror. Two movies that we feel are kind of in a similar vein, similar vibe, whatever you want to, similar topic, something of that feel. And since we're reviewing Imaginary today, which has a creepy teddy bear in it, we thought we would do movies that are kind of center a little bit or around creepy toy or doll movies. So from pre-1995, I went with the obvious. I went with Child's Play from 1988. To me, one of the pinnacles of creepy toy movies. Chucky is obviously an iconic character, getting ready to come back in April for part two of the newest season of the Chucky show. So it's kind of timely here. But I still hold true. I mean, I love the series, love several of the movies, but I still hold true that Child's Play is the best of the series. It was the first movie was really, really good, really iconic, really, to me, trendsetting. But there have been plenty of creepy toy and doll movies. So, Ike, what is your counterpart movie that is post-1995?
Absolutely. First and foremost, I do say I like Chucky. I like Child's Play. Mm-hmm. But my post-1995 movie that, in my opinion, like he said, same vein, same concept-ish, I chose Annabelle from 2014. I had it up and I lost it. But yes, Annabelle from 2014. When it comes to creepy possessed doll movies, a lot of people, will say Child's Play. But I think that this new generation of horror fans, especially those who were born after the 2000s, will most likely see Annabelle as their Chucky. I feel pretty confident about that. We talked about actually in a previous episode sort of about like how different generations have different, experiences with different genres, and Annabelle will be this generation's Chucky. And I obviously love the movie Annabelle. I love the Conjuring universe and everything else. And I know Dave does too, for sure.
I do. Yeah, I do. I very much like Annabelle. So, no complaints here on that. And I think it is kind of a good modern counterpart to Chucky. And who knows? Maybe there could be although Annabelle's not particularly animated. The doll itself's not animated. Just kind of whatever, however you want to say it, a cursed object or a possessed object or whatever it might be. I don't know how you would define that. But
she's a demon possessed doll that uses demonic attachment to the doll to get to other humans and things of that nature.
Yeah.
For people who've not seen the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of a little, a different, kind of the same concept as Chucky. I mean, not really demon possessed, although, the man, the Charles that or whatever that he is possessed with is an asshole and a pretty bad dude. But so it's kind of the same concept, except the bad dude in the Chucky case is actually using the doll, not necessarily as a key to humans, but using the doll in a literal sense. But anyway, both very, very good movies, both fun watches. And I highly advise people, I would say, I suspect the majority of our listeners have probably already seen both of those. They're pretty, pretty iconic movies. So a couple of good ones there. And we'll see what we think of the latest creepy toy or doll movie in a little bit when we talk about Imaginary. But before we get there, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will have news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So we are going to start off this news segment. Before we start off the news, I this is not horror news, but I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention. So last week, actually earlier this week, I believe. It was last week on Friday. They came out and said that Japanese manga artist Akira Toriyama passed away. And I just wanted to talk about that for just a second. I know that Dave's not a huge fan of anime. He does watch his fair share of animated things, but Akira Toriyama has a very, very, very special place in my heart. He's the creator of Dragon Ball Z and all of the Dragon Ball related medias. And, the death of famous people very rarely hits me. But this one hit me pretty hard. I was very, very, very sad to hear his passing. So I just wanted to bring that up and, send my well wishes to, his family and to the community at large. I know a lot of us, there's a lot of crossover between, anime and manga and horror. So I know there's probably a lot of us who love Akira Toriyama and his works. So I just wanted to say rest in peace to him. And he lived a very, he lived a decent life, making and creating for many people. So, but I wanted to bring that up at the beginning before, everything else, so we could get the sad out of the way.
There you go. All right.
But, in any case, moving on, we are going to talk about some news. Now, we actually have one small addition to this, and, we always talk about how when we do these news and stuff like that, we add it as soon as we know it. And we already posted about this on social media yesterday, but Neve Campbell is returning as Sidney Prescott in the new Scream 7 movie with director Kevin Williamson. So this is a pretty big deal. You have two of the original people from the original Scream. Kevin Williamson was involved with the original Scream. You also have Neve Campbell, who's obviously been involved with essentially every movie but the last one the entire way. But you have her back involved, and the fact that she is back involved means that Wes Craven's legacy is being honored, because she's long said, we need to do it right, and if we're not doing it right, I'm not doing it at all. But I know people have been saying it, but I feel like this is almost confirmation that Stu's coming back, in my opinion.
Well, I hope so. Like we said, we've been following along with the Scream 7 mess and talking about, you know, each stage. And we have said that, hey, you know, yeah, you could still write this thing, right? And a couple of keys would be, you know, one, Neve Campbell should be back. Right. It's pretty important that if you're losing these others, you really got to have her back. Well, okay, check, that's off. We didn't really mention it, but, you know, having Kevin Williamson in the directing chair, that's a big deal. That is huge. You know, he was the guy there at the original, you know, helped write or wrote and everything. You know, the first couple, I think 1, 2, and 4, I believe, if I'm remembering right off the top of my head. So he knows, right? He was there with Wes Craven, knows the feel, knows the vibe, obviously very invested in the franchise. So that is a big deal. We didn't mention that and bring that up. That is huge. And a very positive move. And then we also said that, hey, you know what? We need Stu back. So we'll see what happens with, obviously, if Stu's coming back, there probably will be no announcement on that, obviously.
Oh,
it'll be a surprise. I'm assuming that if Neve Campbell and Sydney's back, they are really going to go hard and heavy to get Patrick Dempsey on, who is, you know, her husband in the movies. So I would suspect he'll be announced soon. And it'll be interesting to see if Courtney Cox comes back in her role. And if any of the other couple young actors, if they come back for any part in it, we know, you know, Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are gone. But what about the other couple? We don't, you know, they've claimed they haven't heard anything yet from the studios or anything else. Will they come back to have any link, any tie, or will they just simply go back to the, you know, some of the original stuff? So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, pretty cool. I mean, again, we were hesitant. Our vote was, hey, you know, let's table Scream for a while and not push this issue. But now I'm kind of, the excitement starting to build for me with Neve Campbell back on, with Kevin Williamson. I'm starting to say, okay, that this is feeling good. And let's hope it continues on. And I would love to see Scream, you know, come back to prominence. Stay relative and continue to be a success, because overall I do love the franchise. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. So speaking of franchises, we have some cool news about the Halloween franchise. As a lot of us know, Miramax has the TV rights to the Halloween franchise. And in a recent interview with Deadline, head of Miramax, Mark Helwig, said that the TV series will be a complete creative reset going back to the original film. This will include characters from that film and perhaps a group of characters that haven't been focused on. He also said that the series is a priority and they're on the fast track to getting it done. They're already talking to people to try and lock down the creative team very soon. So this is very interesting because, you know, we've long talked about how a lot of these horror franchises, the next step for them is long form content with, you know, a television series versus the, you know, standardized, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour movie that, you know, we're kind of used to with these types of things. We've seen it work with Chucky. We see that Crystal Lake will be eventually coming back at some juncture with, you know, that content. And I think that Halloween could 100% work in that format. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that if they're going to go back to the original and start things anew, that they're probably going to use the names and likenesses of some characters. But I highly doubt if we will ever see like legacy characters like Jamie Lee Curtis ever reprise their role in these types of films. I think it's a good thing, but I can already foresee the fanboys coming out in droves saying that if Jamie Lee Curtis isn't in it, they're not going to watch it. So I just wanted to be the first to say that I already see that happening. But I think it's a good thing. I think that you need to put a lot of these old characters to bed. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic, and her role as I already forgot her name, Laurie Strode. But you need new blood, and I think that's the biggest thing that Scream did correctly, was they realized that they needed new blood, and then obviously they shot themselves right directly into the ass. But that's fine. That's a conversation for another day. And then, so I think this is good. I think this is a positive move, and I think that the Halloween series is going to be great as soon as it comes out, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like the concept. And, you know, they like I said, they mentioned some characters from the films, early films, that, you know, haven't really been focused on. Well, there's lots they can do there, right? There's lots of side character, and they explored that in the new trilogy, right? They brought back a couple characters that were, you know, supposedly children, and supposed, you know, they retconned, I believe, the one guy saying he encountered Michael when I don't think it was in the original film per se, but still, there's stuff like that. There's enough gaps in time and things where we don't, you know, where Michael's not on screen, where you can do a whole thing where he's, you know, what was he doing at this time period, right? That, and during this stretch or during this, you know, there's gaps they could fill in. And there'd be enough there. And there's, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of secondary characters that really they could do some fun stuff with. And if you do it in a TV series, it's there's value there. You know, it's maybe not enough to do a film, but when you do it in some kind of series, it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we you and I have been preaching this since virtually this we started this podcast that, man, you know, entertainment and media and content is it's different. It's a different world now. And it is time for these franchises to tap into some of these things, such as series and everything else. It's not the old 80s. Let's churn out every 2 years a sequel to the movie. And it's time to explore new options and do new things. And they're doing it. And this is going to me, this is going to revitalize huge aspects of horror. Not saying, I mean, horror is great right now, right? But what we're seeing in the film, in the movies, it's a different type of horror now, right? There's a lot of new type horror with, you know, some of those creators and some of what they do. But some of these old franchises can truly be revitalized by venturing into these series and things like this and trying something different. And it doesn't feel like a retreading. It makes it feel fresh while still having the roots in the franchise. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Crystal Lake, which hopefully we'll, you know, get something from that before the end of the year, whether it be the series itself or some trailers or whatever. I think these are going to be, I think it's going to be huge, and I think they're going to work. I think they are seriously going to work better than some of the last films for some of these franchises. This is great to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I'll go ahead and pitch it now. Make sure you follow us on social media because we post about this stuff as soon as it comes out. You know, anytime we get news about these things, we post it. So if you want to keep up with it and you want to do it with friends, there you go. Follow us on social media.
Yeah.
We'll post about it. You know, like you said, I feel pretty confident we'll get a trailer for Crystal Lake before the end of the year. And maybe more information about Halloween. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like with the Scream thing, you know, that news broke. Man, we couldn't sit on that until we recorded.
No.
While we did discuss it, I mean, that's big enough that we had to put it out there. So it was, as soon as it started breaking, we put it out there on social media because I noticed it on Nev Campbell's Instagram feed. So, there's a reason. You know, even if you're getting your news and information from us here, which is great, make sure you follow social media so that, you know, you get more there too, as well as reminders of some of this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, all right. So with that in mind, we're going to move on to some other news and upcoming birthdays and whatnot. The First Omen will be rated R for violent content, grisly and disturbing images, and brief graphic nudity. The movie will release in theaters April the 5th. So there's actually been some rumblings on the internet about the First Omen. A lot of evangelical groups have actually been talking about this film already, even though it's not even out yet. But you know, the movie's obviously about the Omen, which is like talking about, you know, the birth of the Antichrist and stuff like that. And you know, the trailer is very disturbing. I think the trailer is very scary. The music's very jarring, and you know, just the content which is in the trailer is very jarring. So I'm very excited for the film. I have a feeling it's going to be like a Hereditary, where like I watch it once and never watch it again. So we'll see. I'm very excited for it though. And, April 5th is just around the corner.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the movies that I'm really looking forward to most of this year. And I'm glad that, you know, they are, you know, and just don't hold back, man. Let's really make this thing creepy and scary and go for it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And then we also have a upcoming Screambox release. Followers was released on Screambox on March the 12th, so it's not an upcoming, it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
The home invasion thriller finds a social media influencer in the crosshairs of a relentless dark web cult. Actually, I saw this not too long ago. Someone posted it on Facebook or something, or maybe something like that, but I actually heard about this, and I've actually heard some decent reviews about this film already, so Give it a check. It's on Screambox. Can't go wrong with Screambox.
No, this was another movie I was going to try to watch this week and just didn't have time to get around to it, but I intend to give it a watch pretty soon.
There you go. So like we always say, we always give you options. Well, you know, there's always something to watch, always something mm-hmm. new.
Yeah, we don't even discuss on Screambox and Shutter all the older movies they have on there. I mean, we just discuss new stuff, exclusive stuff. I mean, there's a slew though of old films too. I mean, you could literally just go down rabbit holes and watch stuff nonstop and never run out of options. So.
Oh, for sure. Oh, absolutely. But all right. Upcoming birthdays, and a couple of these are very timely. Mm-hmm. March the 14th, 1965, the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Williamson, writer or producer on Scream, Scream 2, Scream 4, The Faculty, and many, many more. We just talked about him. He's attached to the Scream 7 project. Kevin Williamson is fantastic, very, very fantastic, creative person, and just he deserves all the recognitions.
Yeah, he does. And well, like I said, happy birthday. Welcome back to Scream.
That's right. Welcome back. March 15th, 1963, Greg Nicotero, the makeup and effects artist, most known for his work on The Walking Dead. Maybe not most known, but he also did work on Army of Darkness, which mm-hmm. I found out the other day.
Yep. I mean, he's had to come up and work on a lot of zombies in The Walking Dead. So he did some good stuff. I don't know what his hand is in any of the shows. I don't know if he's still involved, but. They're always coming up with new and creative ways to come up with zombies. It's pretty neat.
It is. It's very, very cool. All right. March 18th, 1950, Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky. Brad Dourif, you know, he was a very large part of just the overall Chucky universe, of course, with his voicing of Chucky. And of course, you know, he was also in the documentary about the Chucky franchise. So that was really cool. And his daughter, Fiona Dourif, is also part of the mm-hmm. Franchise as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Brad, very prominent in the first film where he, you know, actually played, you know, the Charles, the real life actual character before, you know, he goes into Chucky. So, but yeah, he's been the guy that's voiced Chucky all through. So very distinctive.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Some upcoming movie anniversaries. This first one's fantastic. March 15th, 2018, Terrifier. It cannot be said enough that, you know, Dave and I love the Terrifier franchise, Terrifier 1, 2, and then soon Terrifier 3 here in October. So obviously we both love the Terrifier film. It is probably the most recognized version of Art the Clown. You know, obviously Terrifier 2 is fantastic. And All Hallows Eve, the original kind of content of his is great, but Terrifier is where it started, and that's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah, I mean, Terrifier was great. It was such a good movie, and you know, I mean, it's just I can't wait for the third one. There's been set pictures leak out. You know, they've been shooting some stuff in a mall, with Art doing kind of a mall Santa thing or something. Just everybody looking up out there. There's some set pictures that have leaked, and it's got me super excited. I cannot wait for the third one.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I read somewhere that the first 5 minutes of this film is supposed to be like super jarring, super shocking, like worse than the salt and bleach scene and mm-hmm. Terrifier 2. So I'm interested.
Yeah. David Howard Thornton. I think he posted something about, you know, that they finished filming when they finished filming that opening sequence or whatever, and said, it's just the most amazing thing people ever see. So, and they've said it's a lot of them said the opening scene is part of the reason that, lots of big production companies that wanted to be involved kind of turned away and said, oh, nope, never mind. Because it was that crazy. So I can't wait to see.
Good Lord. I'm terrified, but excited at the same time. Mm-hmm. All right. March 17, 2000, Final Destination. We talked about last week. We had some news about the basically the cup coming, I guess you could say. I don't think we have a solidified release date for it, if I don't remember correctly. No. But.
They're saying it's going to be called Bloodline. That's at least the working title for now.
Yeah. Final Destination, Bloodline. So, you know, another timely anniversary. So, obviously, we both love Final Destination. It's a mm-hmm. fantastic film.
Sure is. Love it.
Can't beat dying in horrific ways and then making people in real life scared of those ways, a.k.a. the logging truck.
Oh, every time I see one, I'm like, oh, no.
That's right. Can't be behind it. All right. March 18th, again, another very timely one. March 18th, 2022, X was released. And we talked about Maxine and Pearl on our last episode. Maxine recently had some news about the release in July. And of course, we discussed, you know, X and Pearl as well. But absolutely, X is fantastic. Great movie. Very promising franchise. And very excited to see what Ty West does next.
Yeah, me too. I love, I might be a hot take, but some, to some people, I don't know what they think, but I love X. I think X is leap and bounds better than Pearl. And X is a phenomenal movie. So damn good. And I can't wait for Maxine because it's, you know, more of a sequel to X and it should be great. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's much of a hot take. I think most people agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least as far as I've seen, I could be wrong. Apologies to the Pearl lovers out there. But last but not least, March 19th, 2004, Dawn of the Dead. George Romero's classic Dawn of the Dead was originally made, I believe, in the 70s. It was remade in 2004. And I'm trying to recall who remade it.
It was Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder. I love Zack Snyder. Despite what people say about him, his movies... the Justice League movie is fantastic, especially the Snyder cut. But yeah, absolutely. Dawn of the Dead, it's one of my favorite remakes of the George Romero movies. Oh, pretty much every single one of them have had a remake. Like, Night of the Living Dead's been remade like 10 times. Yeah. Day of the Dead's been remade 10 times. Dawn of the Dead's been remade once, as far as I can recall. And it's very, very good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good remake. You know, it's... not quite to be as good as the original, but it's still pretty solid.
That's what I say. Not as good as the original, but solid. All right. And now we have one upcoming release, something for you guys to watch this weekend, potentially. Stop Motion is coming to Video On Demand on March 15th. Described as a stop-motion animator, struggles to control her demons after the loss of her overbearing mother. We will be reviewing this on our next episode. I have heard some good stuff about this. I've heard that there is legitimate stop motion in this film. And I have a very deep appreciation for stop motion animation.
Yes.
It is an art form. It is a science. It is a religion. There is just so much to like stop motion animation. And it's just crazy how much work goes into getting so little out of it. So I highly praise those who do that kind of animation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I saw the trailer or whatever it was, the teaser or whatever it was. And it's, I don't know, it looks creepy. I'm hoping that it's, you know, got a good story, but I'm excited to see it.
Absolutely. But like you said, we'll be reviewing it this upcoming episode. So stick around for that. But for now, we are going to come up on our one and only It's Just My Imagination, our review of Imaginary. Stick around.
Listen to Their Screams is now a Fangoria collaborator. Get 20% off your order at shop.fangoria.com by using the promo code LISTEN2SCREAMS at checkout. That is LISTEN, the number 2, and SCREAMS. Or you can click the link in the show notes.
All right, and we're back here on Listen to Their Screams, and we are going to be reviewing Imaginary now. The movie was released in theaters on March 8th. And it grossed $9,912,713, which was good for number 3 on its opening weekend behind Kung Fu Panda 4 and Dune Part 2. I don't guess no shame coming behind those two, I guess. That's
a pretty, hell of a lineup.
Yeah, pretty big movies. Quite the contrast. Kung Fu Panda 4, Dune Part 2, and Imaginary. That's just, there's something for everybody there. The movie was directed by Jeff Wadlow, written by Jeff Wadlow, Greg Erb, and Jason Ormland. Starring DeWanda Wise, Tegan Burns, Piper Braun, Betty Buckley, and Tom Payne. Tom Payne, I love Tom Payne. He was in Prodigal Son, which was a great show that was canceled much too early. I wish that show was still going because it was phenomenal. Loved it. Anyway, though, he was in this. Didn't have a huge role, but an important role.
He was Jesus. He was yes, Paul, right. Jesus Rovia in Walking Dead. Yep,
he was. So Tom Payne's a good guy. And like I said, he, you know, very important role as the father in this. And, this movie was fun. I will say this. Again, I seem like I felt like a broken record, but I still feel like this movie needed a little more terror, right? It had some moments, but I need a little more scares, a little more. I don't know. I don't feel like movies quite pull that trigger enough anymore. But this was a pretty solid story, and it was really well acted. The girl, I believe her name was Piper Braun, was the main girl. The young, what was her name?
Alice.
They kept calling her Alley Cat, but yeah. Allison or whatever her name was. She was phenomenal, man. She was great. But everybody was really good in the movie. And again, we give the warnings, but there's all kinds of spoilers here because I have to talk about a couple of things that really got me. When the old lady came into it, the neighbor that, you know, I thought, but she's just, when she first came into the film, I thought, man, this character sucks. I thought they're just flat. There's nothing to them. I thought she seems, I don't know, what's wrong with this character? And why is this not working? They totally kind of got me with the hook on her being a little bit evil and a little bit, you know, trying to lure them into this. Because I seriously just thought she was kind of going to be their Obi-Wan and help guide them through and maybe be the sacrifice, you know, which that did happen. But I didn't really suspect that she was helping to lure them in and wanted to, you know, get trapped in this other world where she'd be younger forever or whatever, the imaginary world or whatever they call it, the flip side. This whole movie to me felt like a live action Monsters, Inc. I kept thinking that. And I will say, though, they totally got me with the false finish at the end.
Yeah.
When they came and it's, you know, you think this is going on. I literally thought this is the end of the movie. And then when they hooked back and she was still in the other world, I was like, I didn't see that coming. I don't know. I don't know why it really caught me, but it was really, really well done. And, you know, and I thought the whole thing was pretty well done. The girl, the little girl, you know, using the fire at the end, which was obviously a fear of hers. She had the burns from, you know, that obviously had some cause from her mother, with her mother having, you know, the, some kind of, you know, conditions have kind of breakdown. There was, I don't know if they really said in detail what happened, but obviously the mom caused some burns on the little girl. And so she was really scared of the fire stuff. And her using that at the end to kind of help end it all was, you know, the parallels between the two characters was pretty good. They both had similar backgrounds and everything else. But I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. You know, well acted, well shot. Like I said, a couple of hooks in there that kind of got me that I didn't see coming. You know, I'm usually I can get a vibe for some of these things. And man, especially with the false finish, they totally got me. I didn't know that was happening at all. So Ike, what'd you think of Imaginary?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I thought it was fantastic. I basically, prior to going into this movie, I said either this movie's going to be great or it's going to be really stupid. And I'm very happy to say that it came out on the other side of that, on the latter part of that, or I'm sorry, the former. It was great. It was very good. Just to kind of touch on a couple things, you know, some of the things that you've been mentioned. First and foremost, you know, before I get too far into it, my wife called it from the very beginning. She said there's something fishy about the old woman. She said it from the beginning. She's like, I just, something about her is bugging me. She's like, something fishy about her. She just seems a little too antsy. And I kind of initially took her character as just kind of being like a nervous character, nervous Nelly, you know, just kind of being that background, like you said, kind of like an Obi-Wan. But it definitely turned out to be a little more than that. You know, like you said, she kind of was there to trick them into staying in that world. And then of course she just got eaten by a bear. So, you know, just desserts, of course. But, you know, it was a very interesting dynamic. You know, a lot of times in these films, it's always like a traditional family dynamic, right? It's always, you know, mom, dad, two kids, white picket fence in a yard. But I feel like this one, on the statistics in America, showed a much more realistic depiction of the American family, which is a blended family. And I thought that was really cool. And the dynamic of the stepmom trying to, you know, care for the, you know, the younger children and, you know, being was very unique. And it created, basically, it kind of created a subtle conflict that ran alongside the central conflict of the imaginary friend. And so, I, like you said, I think Piper Braun, who played Alice, was fantastic. The scene where she's talking to Chauncey with the therapist in the room was...
Yeah, it was wild.
It was great. Like, she had such range of motion, or I should say emotion. And, you know, she was just like, you know, like in tears and like screaming at him. And like, it was chilling. It was very, very good. And then, you know, just overall, it was just a very unique movie, very unique setting, not your typical setting for a horror film, not the typical characters. And I feel like it did it all just so well. It just did it all with such grace. And like you said, I will, you know, concede for sure that it very much lacked that true terror aspect of it. There were a lot of jump scares. There were a lot of very creepy parts, some very dark imagery and things of that nature. But there wasn't anything in this movie that was like overtly terrifying or super duper scary. It was just sort of a spooky movie. And, you know, and who's to say if that was a product, a purposeful product, or if it was a product of it being PG-13. It's hard to say, but it was by no means bad. It was very enjoyable. I enjoyed every aspect of this movie. You know, but like you said, my wife, she was like, yeah, there's something up about that woman. And I was like, how did you call that? Because normally I'm the one that calls things in movies, but she was on it. She's like, that old woman's giving me fishy vibes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like I said, I think my biggest gripe, like you said, was the scare. I wish it was up. I was hoping for a better reveal of what the actual imaginary friend looked like. It's something, I don't know, something a little more effective or something. I really liked how they came to the realization that it was the same imaginary friend as the stepmom. When it came, it was that same therapist scene, I believe, where she came to the realization that only her and the little girl were seeing the bear. And that's how she kind of came to the realization that, it was her imaginary friend,
right?
Same imaginary friend. So that was pretty cool. Cause I was wondering how they were going to do that, how they were going to get to that point of knowing. And I was hoping it really wasn't hokey, but that was pretty cool because I didn't really see it. Cause I didn't think the bear was necessarily the imaginary friend. I thought the bear was just
a conduit.
A conduit. It was clearly involved, but I really, you know, you thought it was a real bear through most of it. And so that was pretty cool. But it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. It would, this will be one that I think when it hits streaming or whatever, I'd probably give it a rewatch, because I thought it was fun. And, I know I've seen online some mixed emotions and some blahs about it. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. It was fun enough for me. I don't think it's this iconic groundbreaking movie that, you know, 20 years from now, everybody's gonna be saying, oh God, remember when Imaginary came back, the whole world changed. But, you know, I don't necessarily go to every movie that thinking that's going to happen. You know, right. I'm like, okay, let's go and have a couple hours of fun here. And hopefully I enjoy it. And I did enjoy it. And my gripes are, you know, my concerns for it are pretty minute in the overall scheme. And it's, like I said, it's kind of the same thing I have with all movies. I'm like, damn, let's just make it a little scarier. Man, don't be afraid. And I think, I don't know if they toned some of it back to keep that rating to draw in some of that little bit younger crowd, you know, I don't know. That's why I'm kind of glad with the first Omen. It's an R. It's like, yeah, let's go for it. And I wish more movies would really just say, screw it. And maybe that's why I like the Terrifier movies. So one of the things I like about the Terrifier movies, they're like, the hell with it all, man. We're going to shock you and really push the boundaries. And, it's horror. It's supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be, so let's don't be, you know, even if you don't have blood and gore, you know, startle, right? Let's have some scare. Let's, whatever. And I just, so many movies now, I just feel like need a little more of that, but that's kind of a general gripe of horror in general to me. It's just that, you know, they can be creepy and have a little tension or whatever else, but so many of these movies just don't truly scare you. You know, this movie, it was creepy. It was interesting. It was fun. didn't really scare me, though. You know, I mean, it didn't have anything. I mean, I want, man, fucking the first time I saw the original Strangers and I went home, I'm like, fucking, I'm leaving the light on tonight. And I was a fucking adult. I'm like, because that shit fucking rocked my world and creeped the hell out of me. And that's what I want. You know, that's what I need from some horror movies. You know, make this grown ass man sleep with the light on and piss himself. That's what I want. Bring that.
But, you're like, I would like a side of scarring to my movie, please.
That's right. I'm a grown ass man. I can handle my psychological scarring. It just means I drink more scotch every day. Bring it on. And, you know, but I don't know. I hope this is not the overall kind of vein of horror nowadays. You know, I hope there's just some mainstream horror. I mean, and again, there's plenty of independent stuff and all out there. I mean, maybe that's part of my appeal for some of these cheesy public domain movies is they're like, yeah, let's take iconic cuddly characters and let's make them fucking vicious and bloody. And
right.
There's that part of me that's like, fuck yeah, let's do that. and you know, let's have some fun. And, but you know, I guess it's a matter of taste, right? And that's just, but again, if it's going to be something that's going to classify itself as horror, put something scary into it. You know, put a little more scary into it and up it. I'm not saying you have to be.
You don't have to be Terrifier levels of, you know, yeah, gore and violence.
Yeah.
But I do agree. And that was actually something I was kind of talking to my wife about on the way home. I was like, you know, I was like, I don't know how it works. I was like, but like clearly one of the prerequisites for keeping like a PG-13 rating is basically little to no gore. I feel like that's pretty much like a given, right? And like, I get that like they can't do a whole lot with that because really the only blood that you see in this movie is like behind a closed door, somebody gets mauled to death and blood comes out from under the door, so it's like an implied death. But like you never see somebody like actually die in this movie. You just watch people like get like, you know, maliciously attacked. And there are some disturbing parts, like when they showed the kid missing his thumb who had like a imaginary friend who made him cut off his thumb or whatever. Like that was a little disturbing, but not nearly as disturbing as like you said, there are other movies who do it better in better ways. Like the Insidious movies. The Insidious movies are all PG-13, but they still manage to wholly terrify people. But I just feel like this movie kind of missed the mark on that. Like, you don't have to be rated R to be scary, but at the same time, there are ways to be scary by still maintaining that, like, that fine line of a PG-13 rating, which that's a whole nother conversation, but I get why they wanted to go the PG-13 route, because it's a broader audience. But sometimes you do just want, like, a rated R, like, bloody, violent horror movie that just gets all of that fear across, you know?
Yeah. There's so many, I don't know, I feel like there's so many movies nowadays that are called horror that are just, to me, are more thriller.
Right.
Because they're not, they don't take, and again, it's not about gore. I love gore, don't get me wrong. I'm fucking a gore geek. But it's just about some scare, right? Some uneasiness, something to just make that hair on the back of my neck stand up at some point. And it doesn't have to be the entire movie. It doesn't even have to be prominent. There just needs to be some in there, something to really get me. And this movie could have really done it. I mean, there was ample room to do it and put it in there and not alter the acceptability of the movie in my eyes would have hit the rating. I just need a little something. And but again, it was still a fun movie overall. I was pleased. But again, this is kind of my general consensus feeling so much horror nowadays. And, you know, not all, but some, and you, if you listen to the show regularly, you can tell on our reviews in the way I talk, the movies that kind of get that X factor in there, for what, you know, what horror is. And it's hard, like I said, it's hard to verbalize and describe what I mean, because it's not like a general thing. You know what I mean? It's not, again, it's hard, so hard to say. It's not like I say, oh, it just needs more blood, or it just needs to startle me and jump scare me more. It's not even that. I just need to feel some uneasiness, you know, some general true fear. And sometimes it's, you know, you don't get invested in the characters enough to be fearful. This movie didn't have that. I was invested in the characters. But it just needed, I don't know, needed a little more fear in there somehow. And I think they could have done it.
Well, I think a good way to kind of like paint the picture is like, I'm trying to think of a good example. So like, for instance, like obviously Hereditary is rated R, but most of what makes Hereditary rated R is like vulgarity and like some minor violence here and there. But you could probably remove those two things from that movie and it's still going to be very scary. You know what I mean? So you could make Hereditary PG-13 and it still be scary. It's just like you said, there is like a factor to a film and how the film is done, how characters are portrayed or however they do it, that does make PG-13 movies scary. It's just a matter of, are they able to find the formula? You know what I mean? It's like you said, it's a very fine line. It's a chemical equation. It's like science.
Yeah. I feel sometimes they're afraid to kind of push that line and push that bar a little bit, right, to get a little, because again, they don't, you know, because of the rating maybe or whatever it is. And again, I'm not saying it has to be anything over the top, disgusting or whatever, just something. Needs a little something, little extra spice on that, and it would knock it up a little bit in my book. But again, it was a fun movie. I did enjoy it. I will probably watch it again at some point. I think I liked it enough. Again, it's one of those that means, it's almost like it's a borderline to call horror for me. But yeah. It lacked a little something, but it was, you know, still enough story-wise there that I enjoyed it as a movie. So let's rate this sucker. Ike, let's start with you. For Imaginary, out of 5 screams, what are you giving it?
I kind of went back and forth on like how I wanted to rate this, but I feel pretty confident in just giving it a standard 3.5 out of 5. It was a very good movie. It had a lot going for it. It was very enjoyable. I would even go as far to say is that there are very redeeming qualities about this movie, you know, and despite my gripes, you know, I generally think that this movie did well and was good. So 3.5 out of 5. I feel like I've been kind of riding the 3 to 3.5 for like so long. I'm just really waiting for a movie to push me into the 4 category, you know?
Well, Terrifier 3 is coming later, so
I'm hoping that'll be our first 4.5.
You never know. You never know. But with Imaginary, I think I'm just going to give it a flat old 3. It was, like I said, it was fun. Nothing spectacular. Like I said, a little more tension, a little more terror, a little more scariness, and it would have really bumped it up to a strong 3.5 for me. I don't know that there was enough here that they could have added enough to ever push this to a 4 to me. I just don't, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was that original a concept or a movie to get up to something that, you know, where it really blows my socks off that much. But like I said, if it had a little more sauce on it, I think I could have got to a 3.5. But it's a 3 for me. Again, a fun movie. I really advise people to watch it. You know, go to the theaters. It's a fun movie to sit with a drink and some popcorn and enjoy. I don't think you'll regret seeing it. But you know, it's not one of those movies that you walk away and say, oh yeah, that's the movie to top this year so far. I don't think we've seen that movie yet. This year, it's going to be, if the year ended now, it would be very weird for us to try to come up with our top 5.
It would be,
because I don't think there's anything that just jumps, like it usually does, of say, oh yeah, that, but there are some big movies to come. Like I said, I'm excited about The First Omen. Obviously Terrifier 3 is coming. So there are still some things in the pipeline for the year that I think will, you know, slip in there. I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see the stop motion next episode. And then we have The movie Late Night with the Devil is supposed to come out, and I've seen it. Looks really good to me. I mean, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. I'm super stoked to see that movie. Who would have known that, you know? Abigail sounds good to me. The Strangers movie we just saw the first year. There's some movies out there that I'm excited to see that it's just weird. It's been kind of different than the last year or so. Like last year, I felt like the year started really, really strong. It maybe tapered out a little bit more towards the end. This year, it's like we're starting weak, and then it's like all the good shit's coming later in the year for us, which is, it's okay. That's not bad. It's just different. But, there's been some decent stuff, but just nothing that's really rocked my world yet in 2024. Yeah. So that's the challenge. Who's going to be that first movie that I'm going to say, oh, yeah, can I have another? And we'll see what it is. Maybe it'll be stop motion. We'll find out soon enough because we're watching that for next week. I don't know, but you never can tell. That shit's creepy. You know, that I have a thing about mannequins and things like that and different, you know, whatever, that kind of option. And stop motion often captures that and it has that same creepiness for me.
It does.
So this might make me wet the bed. Who knows? but we'll see. We'll see. But, I'm hopeful, and we'll know next episode because we're going to watch it and review it. Again, that movie, Stop Motion, will be available video on demand on March 15th. So get out there and buy it. Give it a watch before our next episode so that you can play along in your head as we discuss it and have thoughts, because we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your responses. Did you go see Imaginary? What did you think about it? Are you one of those people that's out there nagging on the internet, blah, 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 this movie sucks? Or did you think it was kind of decent? And let's be productive and let's be positive. If you felt the movie had flaws, okay, cool. Armchair director, how would you fix it? What would you do? let's hear some thoughts and let's hear some feedback, right? Because it's easy to knock something or whatever else, but let's don't be that way, right? Let's have some constructive criticism. If you thought the movie was lacking, what did you feel it needed more of? That's what we did today, right? We pointed out, hey, it was a pretty fun movie, but I wish it would have had a little more of this. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear some positive discussion, some, you know, respectful, constructive discussion out there on our social media. So hit us up and let us know what you think of Imaginary. So, Ike, also before the next episode, will you have another one of your horror themed dinners yet? Will that happen by then?
It sure will. So on Sunday, because we usually do it on Sundays because we go grocery shopping on Sundays, which is Not the point. It's boring. But okay. Sunday, we're going to get it. And this week, we are watching Terrifier 2. So next week, I've been told that I should build up to it, right? So next week, I will tell you guys what I ate. But it is going to be Terrifier 2 themed. My wife made this up. And Dave last week, yeah, he made a comment that actually was hit pretty close to what it is. So it's gonna be good. I'm excited for it. But we usually make like a meal and then a dessert, so
there you go. I mean, obviously I'm not gonna say it again, but obviously anybody that's seen Terrifier 2, there's an obvious food type in the film, so come on. You gotta play off that somehow, you would think. So there you go. So that will be interesting. We'll have a rundown. Ike will have a rundown of that next week. Ike and I don't necessarily watch a whole lot of other stuff through the week. We're kind of in this slump here lately. So if there's something out there that you guys have seen and watched on Screenbox, Shudder, Tubi, whatever it may be that you think, hey, these guys would like that, they should watch this, let us know. And if you hit us up on social media, we'll give it a watch. I'm all about it. I'm always liking ideas because it's so weird. All the time you can think, man, I want to watch this. I want to watch this. Oh yeah, that looks good. And then you get on there scrolling through and you're like, I forget everything I want to watch. And it's like, I don't know what to watch. And then I always end up watching some movie I've seen a thousand times instead of something different. Because it's like, it's like trying to decide what you want to get for dinner sometimes. It's like, I don't know. Everything sounds good, so you can't decide on anything. But
I feel that.
That's right. So if there's a movie out there that you guys are watching online or streaming or whatever it may be, and you really dug it, let us know and give us some ideas. Give us some input. We'd like to watch it too. We respect your feedbacks and your opinions, so let us know. So before we close this out, I can get out of here for this week. Anything you want to add?
Not much, honestly. I made my Mr. Pibb comment earlier, so I got that out of the way. It was important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. here's the deal, guys. Kids have imaginary friends, but if that imaginary friend is telling them to, I don't know, cut off their finger or stab their hand on a rusty nail, I'm not saying you're haunted, but it's a high likelihood, I would say.
That was pretty creepy with the board. I was cringing a little bit on that, just the thought of that. But
right,
that was a good scene.
It was.
But, if you got an imaginary friend having you make a list of things that you need to do to improve yourself, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. So, and especially if his name is Chauncey, there's too many signs there.
Chauncey. But,
everybody in their life has encountered a creepy looking teddy bear, and yeah. You know, there's plenty of those out there. So, all right. Well, then let's get out of here. I think we've exhausted this topic and talked about everything we want to do. So next episode, like I said, we'll be reviewing stop motion. But until then, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, whichever one you're listening to now, I would suspect. Just make sure you subscribe and make sure you follow us on all the social media outlets. But until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.